I don't know if you picked up on the news this week, but there was a new world record established this week on the 13th of January, that it was recorded 16,536 people. Yes, in one day, 16,536 people died because of coronavirus. A new world record. And the truth of the matter is that the impact of this disease on the world has been absolutely staggering. And if you ever doubted it, coronavirus is a reminder that life is so uncertain and fragile. Yes, we live in a world where suffering, sickness, and death prevail. This brings us to this morning to the last of the seven signs John recorded in his gospel, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And as we've noted previously, John is very intentional, yes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but John is very intentional in the way he tells the world about Jesus. John 20. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Yes, in the person of Jesus, we encounter God. We see the unseeable, know the unknowable, touch the untouchable. In the person of Jesus, we encounter God. This is what we've been seeing through the signs. We encounter God taking back his authority over this world, over matter, over time and space, over human beings, over sin and sickness, over the physical world, over nature. And today we'll see even over death. John chapter 11. Let me read for you. Let me just. John 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. Verse 11. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, give me a second. My battery is running low on my computer." Sorry about that. Everything was set up, only I hadn't plugged the cord in. His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Verse 39. "But Lord," said Martha, when Jesus said to remove the stone, "but Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." The first thing John wants us to understand beyond any shadow of a doubt is that Lazarus is dead. Jesus, Martha, Mary, the crowds, they all say it. I love how it plays out in verse 14, for example, and how Jesus is speaking in figurative language to the disciples, and he gets to the point of saying, and guys, come on, guys. Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Yes, we truly do live in a world where suffering, sickness, and death exists. The Jewish thinking regarding this time regarding death was that the soul would hang around the body for 3 days, seeking an opportunity to re-enter. But on the fourth day, when the body started to decompose, the soul would leave. In John 11, it is day 4. There is now no hope of Lazarus recovering. To say it is the fourth day in that time is a little like the medical staff in our world pronouncing the person is dead. Yes, Lazarus is dead. The Bible presents a very clear picture of why bad things happen, of why suffering, sickness, and death exists. At the beginning of time, Genesis tells us that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And so here it is. Humanity was enjoying life and the goodness of all that this world has as our home. But we also see in the Genesis account how it all went wrong, how Adam was deceived and turned his back on God, and how through this act of rebellion, the whole creation has been impacted. The Apostle Paul explained it like this in Romans 5. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. And the impact of this world, Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, is suffering, is a world subject to frustration and a bondage to decay. The picture you get is of a rolling effect. It just goes on and on and on. Yes, we live in a world where bad things happen, where suffering, sickness, and death exist. But we also observe here in John 11 how God reacts, how God feels about his good creation being impacted in this way. John 11, verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. How does God feel? He grieves. We have seen this previously in John's record of Jesus' miracles. I've got to say, this is one of the things that has impacted me greatly in this series. Time and time and time again, we see this. Interestingly, not once did we hear Jesus reacting to the presence of suffering, sickness, and death with a, "Well, what do you expect? You've brought it on yourself." Or, "Come on, pull yourself together." No, the opposite has been true. Jesus was full of mercy. He was moved with compassion. He saw people like sheep without a shepherd. And this is what we now see here concerning Lazarus' death. Lazarus, his friend, had died. Lazarus' sisters are grief-stricken, and Jesus enters into this moment and grieves with them. As one commentator put it, Jesus burst into tears, and another, overcome by emotion, he gave way to weeping. As we look at all that is going on in the world, as we experience suffering, sickness, and death ourselves, we need to remind ourselves of who God is. As the psalmist declared, "You, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God." This is who we see revealed in Jesus. God is not indifferent to our suffering. He has felt it. He has entered into our pain and says, "Let me comfort you." Yes, yes, I am the God of all comfort for you here now. But there is something else about Jesus' grief worth noting. John tells us Jesus was troubled. In other English translations, agitated, greatly distressed, angry. The Message paraphrase puts it like this: a deep anger welled up within him. Carson, in his commentary, says he was outraged in spirit. Warfield uses the word rage. I love the way Bruce Milne picks up on this. He writes, "Jesus sees and feels the misery of the whole race and burns with rage against the oppressor of humanity." We see here in Jesus the sense that this world as it is not how it is supposed to be. We see God angry at the one who bound the world in suffering, sickness, and death, and grieving for his precious creation. Yes, God looks upon this world and grieves because of the impact of sin in people's lives. But we also see here in John 11, God making it right. Verse 25. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus said. "The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Verse 39. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let them go." Let's be clear here. Just as John wanted us to know Lazarus was dead, so he also wants us to clearly know he came out of the tomb alive. we've been noting on previous occasions how John brings out particular details in his narrative, in his account of Jesus. I love this picture. Lazarus did not walk out of the tomb. John clearly tells us that his feet and legs were bound. And I try to get my head around how all this happened. But Jesus says, come out. And here it is, this man who is dead, who is wrapped in the clothes of death, comes out. And he's just standing there before the crowd. Immovable still, Jesus turning to the crowd saying, loose him, let him go. Unwrapping him. There was nothing Lazarus could have done to bring himself back to life. John wants us to hear it, wants us to see it. And indeed, here is the point. God does not look on helplessly, grieving over the way his good creation has been destroyed. He has acted decisively. He has acted in power. In the person of Jesus, God has driven out the prince of this world. He has defeated sin and death. He has restored life and honor to humanity. Yes, the Bible is so clear at this point. Jesus died to sin once and for all. His tomb is empty. And now, yes, now resurrection life has broken into this world. Jesus took back what Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. He put a stop to the impact of sin. And we hear Jesus saying to every one of us, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the reality for all who believe in Jesus. Hear it again. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me shall, even though they die. And the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is why the Apostle Paul could confidently say, for as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive again. And again, Paul writes, we do not want to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. Yes, friends, we can confidently believe in Jesus, the promised one, the Son of God. And yes, by believing in Jesus, we can confidently face whatever happens in this world, knowing we have life. I know the reality for many of you this morning, several of you this morning, is suffering, is sickness, is death. And as we come to the end of this series, looking at how John has portrayed Jesus, the Son of God, the one who has conquered all things, who has taken back the world, I want to encourage you to faith this morning. I want us to stop and pray. I want us to stop and look to Jesus this morning, to take hold of him, to ask him to touch our lives afresh, to heal, to restore, to save a person who's on our heart. Why don't we just take a few moments and right where you are, let's just pray. Why can we pray? Because Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one who has conquered sin and death.